Mountain, Island, Lightning Bolt, Snow Pierce, Switchblade, Stab Wound, Red Mage, Blue Mage.
We've got
one, two,
noise.
All right, cool. Are you ready?
Sure.
Is your body ready?
No, absolutely not. It is a soft, mushy pile of pumpkin bread is what my body is. It's not ready for anything.
You're saying it's ready to be molded into a perfect Magic the Gathering discussion vessel.
If one could mold soggy pumpkin bread, then sure.
I can absolutely mold soggy pumpkin bread. I've done it many a time.
I don't believe you, but let's just go.
Welcome to Red Mage, Blue Mage. I'm Kenny and I play blue.
I'm Amber and I play red.
And we're here to talk about Magic the Gathering.
And pumpkin bread.
Sure. How was that pumpkin bread?
It's delicious.
What percentage of the loaf did you eat?
I think 55%.
Just over half.
It was, and also, it was a mini loaf. It wasn't like a full loaf of bread. It was a mini loaf.
How many pounds of loaf do you think you ate?
25 pounds of loaf. It's a very dense pumpkin bread.
It was like a teaspoon of neutron star material.
Ugh. Anyway, that means I'm very awake. I am very ready to have a lovely discussion.
Oh my god. not convincing.
So on that note, take it away.
All right, well, we're going to jump into things because I think we're actually going to have a fair amount to talk about today. What do you think about going to the zone?
The auto zone?
No, the construction zone.
Oh, jeep shop.
Construction zone. It's a bone zone. Put your helmet on, the shit is OSHA. Bust out your lotion, son, but keep your clothes on. The shit is wholesome.
Yes, construction zone. I feel like we haven't done
a proper one in a while, no.
A proper one. I was gonna say we've done construction zones recently where we weren't actually talking about decks at all, which is kind of bullshit really.
Eh.
Whatever. Today we're talking about decks.
Oh, big old decks.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Biggest big, decks.
Thick decks. We're talking about commander decks. And actually, for both of us, we're going to be talking about commander decks and revisiting subjects that we've touched on before. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
You should let me go first because honestly, I don't have that much to say.
Okay.
And I'm pretty boring. So we talked previously about how we brought our commander decks to Scotland for
yes.
that event we went to. Mm-hmm. And I play my Duretti deck, and it was like I kept coming in second place in these like 5-player games just because I wasn't a threat. And so it was like I was just slow, and it was I didn't pose a threat for a very long time, and it wasn't until like near the end that I got stomped out of existence. Then I came back home and I played my commander deck again, my Duretti deck again against Brandon's really well constructed dino deck that's all about that rampage, right? Is that the term?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, rampage.
That's the keyword.
Yeah. So like one of them take damage and then they have stuff happen. And then it's ridiculous. Because there's a lot of stuff that, you know, does one damage to all creatures, and then it triggers all these abilities and it's ridiculous. And I got stomped again, and I think it's because honestly I took a pre-con and I gutted it, and I switched out like 15 cards, and now it's kind of just not synergized very well, and also it doesn't know what it wants to be, because it's like it should be an artifact. I should be putting in artifacts and things that like will help me get good artifacts and stuff. Mm-hmm. And instead, what I've done is I've subbed in some burn stuff and like added goblins and things to help protect my commander, who is a planeswalker. And it's not moving like it should, and it's not doing what it should. In fact, I don't think it has that good of direction anymore. And I think I'm trying to make a deck out of it that is supposed to be something else. And what I should do is I should just make a goblin burn deck with a whole, just something different completely. And
so you're saying you want to get away from Dreddy?
I think I need to satiate myself with a burn commander, an aggro burn commander of some sort, and build a deck around that, and then go back to the roots with Dreddy and get into the artifacts game, and the meta graveyard game, because right now I'm mushing two things together that aren't working well.
Yeah. I think I would give you the same advice that I just gave a student today.
Oh, boy.
So I teach writing, and the student came in, and they're working on an essay where ultimately they were trying to argue two completely separate things.
Yeah.
And she was asking me, like, could I make a thesis statement that argues both things at once, but, like, in a unified way? And I was like, I would really recommend just picking one.
Yeah.
Because I know what you're trying to do. You're just trying to save what you've got. But, yeah, you
like,
need to pick a direction.
I'm trying so hard to be able to do cool Dreddy stuff, but at the same time also be doing aggro
cool goblin stuff.
Goblin stuff, and it's not working.
Sure.
So
your plan is what? Make a budget aggressive commander deck?
I think honestly what's gonna happen is I'm gonna end up making a brawl deck. Sorry,
the aggressive version?
Yeah. And then see how it goes in brawl, and then try and make a commander deck out of my brawl deck, and then reevaluate Dreddy.
Gotcha. Well, I'm trying to think, because the Brawl decks have Planeswalkers are their commanders, right?
Yes.
And they use the standard card set.
Yes, 60. But one singles.
Right.
And you start at 30 life? I can't remember. 40 life? I can't remember.
It might just be 20. I don't really remember either.
I don't know. I gotta look shit up. Doesn't matter. That's what's going on. Pumpkin
you're in
bread.
Very early thoughts. On that, I think you had the right idea. Like way back when you were first playing Dreddy, you were pointing out, here's the problem I'm having with the Dreddy deck. He is not well protected enough.
Yeah.
Like, and the whole plan, of course, revolves around Dreddy as a planeswalker, sacrificing artifacts and doing all kinds of artifact stuff. But he was just dying too fast.
I just need more, not goblins to make tokens, but artifact token stuff.
Yes, I was gonna say. I think
now,
the solution there is you want artifacts to be the plan for protecting Dreddy.
And now what I'll do is I'll put food in there. I'm gonna feed Dreddy. Not really. With fucking food tokens that he can just sacrifice.
True.
And trade out food for fucking artifacts that mean something. Anyway, true. So now it's going to be Dreddy and artifact food generation.
Funfetti deck.
Food fetti. Pie fetti.
Is there a lot of food stuff in red, though?
I'll make it happen.
Well,
I'll just take a little marker and we'll color them into reds. Don't look it up. We don't look up things in this show. Stop Googling. Stop it. I don't like it. Leave it a mystery.
There is no red card.
Shut up.
Food.
There are. And I'll find them.
You'll be cheating.
I am known to do that from time to time.
That's true. There is Witch's Oven. That's the only that's an artifact that can.
I can put 5 Witch's Ovens in my commander deck.
Wow. You are a cheater.
I don't know what you're talking about. I only have one of them.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Okay, so that's the Dreddy report.
The end.
Not entirely satisfied. Well, I have finally assembled my Nicol Bolas the Ravager commander deck. You accused it of being extra.
It is extra.
Which is entirely warranted. I got a special deck box.
Yeah, 3D printed of Nicol Bolas's dick.
Yeah.
That you can stick your cards in.
Yeah. And other things as well. And then I've got...
like your weed?
My stash. So yeah, I wanted to talk about my experiences with it so far. I've gotten to play a handful of games with it. And I also wanted to revisit what we discussed about it last time. So on a previous Construction Zone, many episodes ago, I was kicking around the idea of the Nicol Bolas Commander deck. And just to refresh your memory, I brought to you, I said, I'm thinking of two different ways of doing this.
Silly.
One way, yeah, is just like a pure sort of flavor build. I just want as many cards as I can get that are Nicol Bolas or directly reference him or have in flavor text or art, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the other way I was thinking about building it was there, at this point, have been a fair number of Nicol Bolas Planeswalker cards. I was like, and there are other Planeswalker cards I could pull in there and just make it sort of a Planeswalkery proliferation kind of deck that just wants to land and build up loyalty on Planeswalkers and really have the Planeswalkers be front and center as the threats of the deck. You're making a face.
The Planeswalker Bolas cards, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, if I was going to go that route, I was like, I could also, there are other Planeswalkers I would put in as well, if I were going to.
Not allowed.
Step it up. Yeah, and you landed very much on the side of fun and flavor.
Yes, because it's all just about Nicol Bolas touching himself. This right. deck.
Right.
Just touching myself. That's what he sounds like.
I wish he had a voice that high pitched.
Touching myself, I'm gonna kill all the planes.
You work for me now, Liliana.
No, you're not doing it smooth enough.
You're for me, Liliana.
I said smooth.
Come into my clutches.
Not. You're not.
I feel horny.
Smooth out your voice.
What do you mean? My voice is smooth as fuck.
Anyway.
Hey,
baby. Nope. It's not high-pitched enough now.
Liliana.
Nope.
Your contract is in default, baby.
Up higher. Go up higher with that. Same smoothness, but a higher.
Hey, Liliana.
keep talking about your ballistic.
Anyway. So where it wound up actually is kind of a middle ground between those two points. And I wound up, so I just wanted to show you visually and then I'll describe it to the viewer. I've divvied up, I have the deck in front of me here.
I can't see it.
I'll show you here in a second. So I've got my actual Planeswalker commander.
Which one did you choose?
Nicol Bolas the Ravager.
Okay.
So it's commander, so it has to be a legendary creature, and this is the one that transforms into a Planeswalker.
Aha.
I then have the other four Nicol Bolas Planeswalker cards.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got Nicol Bolas Planeswalker, Nicol Bolas God Pharaoh, Nicol Bolas Dragon God, Nicol Bolas the Deceiver.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of the focal point of the deck. This stack right here that I'm showing you.
Wow, it's 20 feet long.
This is the majority of the deck, and these are all cards that are flavor. They directly reference or depict or have something to do with Bolas. So we've got Slave of Bolas, Hour of Devastation, Patient Rebuilding, In Bolas's Clutches, The Locust God, The Elder Spell, Dark Intimations, Cruel Ultimatum, those kinds of cards.
Mm-hmm.
Like solid cards that also directly have stuff to do with Bolas. And some of the cards in here are actually not even that good.
Mm.
So this is my concession, and I do want, like, Gem of Becoming is a great example. It depicts Nicol Bolas's Meditation Plane. It's a 3-mana artifact, mm-hmm. and it has 3 tap, sacrifice it, you search your library for an island, a swamp, and a mountain, and put them into your hand. Now that is not that good.
Mm.
Like 3 mana, and then 3, and then sacrifice, and it just gets you lands.
Wow, yeah, it's not that good.
But I wanted it because, you know, it's Bolas.
Yeah, sure.
Or another great example, Obelisk of Grixis. It's 3 mana, taps for a blue, black, or red. That's fine, but there are much better things you could be doing for a 3-mana artifact if mm-hmm. you want to ramp. So, and this is the majority of the deck. This is like half the deck is this stuff.
The other half is lands.
I do have lands, and I did pick up all my basic lands are the Hour of Devastation lands, so they are also on brand. Okay, then you have this much smaller stack here.
Mm-hmm.
This stack is just cards to help me out. Like, mm-hmm. So here we've, and that is not on theme with Bolas. So we've got things like Dimir Signet.
Oh, they're not Bolas?
I have things in here that are just not, like, so I have them divvied out. So you can see this one over here.
Yeah.
These are not directly tied to Bolas, but
wow.
They could be. So no. You've got things like Dig Through Time.
Nope.
Blasphemous Act.
Nope.
Compulsive Research.
Nope.
Damnation. These are cards that are not directly related to Bolas, but I feel like are very Bolas themed.
Nope. This deck, I was told, would be 100% no stretch of the imagination Bolas directly related cards with each other. So you fail. You just straight up failed.
Okay, I guess we can go to the next segment. May I continue, please?
Yes.
So these are my cards that are like, basically, I think the thing that I struggled the most with and spent a lot of time thinking about was cards that you could put in a commander deck that are good early plays that aren't shitty later on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think things like Ponder and Preordain fit perfectly in there. Like, you're so happy to play them on turns 1 and 2. But if you draw them on turn 12, Ponder, Preordain, it's fine. They replace themselves, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Then the last category of cards that I have here, I'll hold them up. Pretty much another small, equal stack. It's like that much. These are cards that are put in specifically for the Planeswalker plan. So here you have things like Inexorable Tide, Teferi, Temporal Archmage, Thrumming Bird, Spark Double, Kazmina, Enigmatic Mentor. So these are cards that, again, don't really have anything to do with Bolas, and these are specifically for the I want to play and protect Planeswalker plan. Mm. So this is kind of the compromise that I made between the two. It's mostly comprised of things that directly reference Bolas or depict him. That's the majority of the deck. Then there's a small bit of the deck that doesn't directly depict him, but fits in with the themes okay. And then a small portion that is just synergy with the deck strategy. And I've been happy with the way that it's played so far. I've enjoyed it. I think it's a decent balance between fun and, you know, just not rolling over and dying to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Despite that apparently being pretty on brand for Bolas as far as War of the Spark goes. The one thing that I wanted to discuss, there's a few cards in here that I'm like not sure about. And these were intended to be Protect the Planeswalker cards. And I didn't really think about it until later that they don't really do what I want them to do. So I've got Propaganda, which is an enchantment, 2 and a blue. Creatures can't attack you unless their controller pays 2 for each creature they control that's attacking you. And Crawlspace, no more than 2 creatures can attack you each combat. Now, the idea here was to make it so that your opponents were very much disincentivized from attacking me or planeswalkers I control. But if I put those things out there and then I've got these planeswalkers, they don't have to attack me. They can attack my planeswalkers, I think is how that works.
Mm.
So I don't think it disincentivizes them the way I want it to.
Put a land in there. Swap it out with a land.
I could. I was also thinking, I do have, like, there's a small quote-unquote sideboard of other cards that I was thinking about putting in that I have that might make you happier because they're more on brand and they can also play the role of disincentivizing. So, like, there's a stupid scorpion that has Death Touch from Amonkhet, and mm-hmm. it references Nicol Bolas. Thought about putting that in there.
Like fucking Death Touch scorpion. Isn't it a 1/1?
Yeah. It's a terrible 1/1 scorpion. But... you know, that kind of falls into the category for me of that Gem of Becoming where it's like, it's not optimized, but maybe it's more fun. Also, it has cycling. So, you know, later in the game, if you draw it and you don't want it, you can just replace it.
Yeah.
So I think that's okay. I don't know. I've been pleased with it so far. It's played out. It has been, like, reasonably competitive. And that's all I wanted. I just wanted it so that it didn't just die to everything.
Reports came in saying that you crushed everybody that came across it, so I think you're fine.
I definitely lost a game to Seth, a close game, and then I played a big multi-person one with my family over the weekend, which is surprising, because this was my sisters and my brother-in-law, My brother always never played Magic before. My sisters haven't played since, like, high school. And it was a good time. I lost there. My sister kicked my ass. And then my brother-in-law took the whole thing.
Good.
So, yeah.
Good.
That's actually, optimally, that's what I don't want something that just went, like, when it comes to Commander,
yeah.
I don't want this thing that is just head and shoulders above anybody I play with. That completely defeats the point, I think.
Yeah. It's no fun. To sit down, you're like, I'm gonna play a casual game of Commander. I'm dead.
Yeah.
I can't do anything.
Right. And conversely, it doesn't feel good to sit down and, like, your deck is just leagues more powerful than everybody else's.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel good to be in that position. It also doesn't feel good to be, you know, targeted for that reason. Like, there's a lot of reasons not to do that.
Right.
Just feel bads for everybody. Well, speaking of feel bads, should we talk about Oko?
What?
Should we talk about Oko, the Planeswalker?
What about him? Is that part of this?
Yeah.
I thought I didn't see Oko in the list of things to talk about. I just saw Bolas, Duretti, and brainstorming changes.
Oko is just going to be a route into this discussion.
Okay, what about him? How much you want to touch his abs?
I mean, yeah, that can be a topic for another time. That can be a fanfic, I feel
no,
like.
No, I think it's important right now to talk about it.
About how much I want to touch his abs? I was thinking about today his pose and his artwork where he's like...
I
feel like he's, you know, it's good to be the king. It's good to be the best card in Standard by far.
I mean, after a lifetime of being, how would you say, restrained and...
Suppressed.
Suppressed and banished into a cage. It's nice to be free
out.
And just turn things into food and...
And elks.
I like to create food and then... Make some elks. Feels great. Feels good.
So to explain what we're talking about, we're of course talking about Oko, Thief of Crowns, which who knows, by the time this comes out, maybe he's banned.
We don't know.
But he's 1 green and a blue for a 4 loyalty planeswalker. He is +2 is making a food token. His +1 is turning an artifact or creature into a 3/3 green elk creature with no abilities, and his -5 is exchanging control of an artifact or creature you control with a creature an opponent controls with power 3 or less. And I don't play Standard, but apparently he is just absolutely running amok.
Well,
in Standard.
Mean, my God, +2, create a food token. +1, turn your food token into a fucking elk. Are you kidding me? It's just. What? And
yeah.
Then he's at 6. Then he's at 6 loyalty by the time 2 turns, and you have a 3/3 elk, and now you can -5, and yeah, trade your elk for something better.
It is pretty crazy to have such a low cost planeswalker with such high loyalty who can also defend himself. That's the crazy part to me. Is like anytime we've seen 3 cost planeswalkers before, like. I'm thinking about, like, Jace Belrin, who was very good and mm-hmm. had no way to defend himself.
Right. So now I just make elks all around me, dancing elks.
And his loyalty is so high. So he's causing big problems in Standard. He's also apparently causing big problems in Brawl on Arena. Like, he's just, like, a huge portion of the field, and he's causing people to be really mad. But I don't, for this discussion... The question I want to consider is not necessarily Oko himself as a card.
Once again, it's time for an academic debate between a civilized scholar and a homicidal brute. Let's begin.
So I wanted to talk about a tweet that I saw in a discussion that I saw on Twitter. This is Mashi, at the guy on the left. And in this tweet, Mashi asks, quote, in an era where Wizards Magic is pushing the envelope with the power level of cards in Standard, which I love, are we okay accepting regular Standard bannings as the price to pay? And the poll was, you know, yes or no. And actually, I kind of want to look and see. I voted in it. I said no, I believe.
I don't remember. I don't think I saw this tweet.
Yeah, I said no. But the poll, the final results, 61% said yes, we are okay accepting regular Standard bannings as the price to pay to pushing the envelope. And 39%, myself included, said no, not okay. So the majority say yes, but a sizable amount of people, 40% roughly, say no. So what is your answer to this question?
So several thoughts. One, mm-hmm. I don't play Magic competitively. Mm-hmm. And Standard doesn't bother me. I don't play in Standard. Like, right. If I was going to do Friday Night Magic, it would probably be just booster drafts, which, right. Okay, fine. And mostly what I play is Commander and Modern, essentially. But Modern in the sense of I just make a Modern deck and I play against another Modern deck,
you're,
and it's just for fun.
Competitive Modern, yeah.
Yeah, not playing competitive Modern. So for me, because I don't live in that world, and I'm yet, maybe I might when I start playing Arena, if I ever start playing Arena. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really bother me about the bannings. I think it's interesting. So because I'm not a part of that world, really, the competitive world of Magic, it doesn't bother me. Like, I wouldn't care. It just isn't the thing that would affect me.
It's not
now,
relevant to you.
Yeah, it's not relevant to me. But as a person who thinking about Magic as the game it is, and thinking about it in the context of these formats and whatever, I think I would be fine with it, because it would be like fun to have a card come out that really shakes stuff up, and it's like, oh, okay, and then, oh, well, whatever, there's a ban list, okay, we just don't play with that card anymore, or at least not play it, you know, in competitive arenas. But I think it'd be exciting, like, when stuff like this happens, which it must be exciting for people, because it's like, ooh, look what Oko can do, and, like, the things that are happening, and it's fun for a while until they realize it's OP and not really good for the format. But but I don't think it would be a problem, because then it's just like, okay, well, fine, it's banned. We messed up with this power balance. We wanted to try something different. We wanted to try something new and interesting, and it just didn't work out well.
Sure.
So I'm fine with it both ways. One, as I don't care because I don't play competitive, and also if I did play competitive, it's fun.
Sure. Well, I think part of the, like, there are multiple things going on. Probably, like, you are fine with it because I don't think, if you were playing in Standard, I can't imagine you would be like, what's the most powerful deck? I want to be in on that deck. Like, right. That's not your MO.
No, hell no.
Any of the game types you play.
No. Absolutely not. I think it's always interesting and fun. I'm always just impressed when people find things and are able to do stuff with cards that I would never, ever have thought of. And then it just happens. And you get to witness something ridiculous. Like, because I'm not, like I said, like, because I'm not a competitive person.
You're not plugged into that scene.
Or just in general. That's not part of my personality.
Right.
I'm just more impressed with that. I don't get frustrated. It's like, oh, well, whatever, I didn't do a good job. Like, even with playing the Duretti decks, my Duretti deck and in Commander, a lot of it, my fun just comes from on watching everybody else's decks and playing, and then people's trash talking and shit. I like that stuff. I like that stuff more than anything. So,
sure,
that's just me.
Yeah, I get that. But, like, if you were playing in Standard regularly, and, like, every set came bans of cards that just came out, you don't think that would get old?
I don't think it's something that the Wizards should be like, oh, I think it just looks bad. Like, you don't really know how to, like, build in your sandbox, essentially.
Right.
Like, you don't know.
This is your game, and you don't understand the power level of the cards you're making.
I think occasionally it's fine, because we're trying something new. If it's in the sense of we're trying something new, I think it's fine. If they just keep making the same damn mistakes over and over and over again, it's just like aggravating. I can see it being aggravating for a person who plays like competitively, because it's just like, come on, get your shit together, Wizards. Like, just make cards that work within the game that are balanced and not this. Because then it's like you're banned 20 cards in a set. That's stupid.
Right.
Why would you? That should not be happening.
Well, that's how I feel. Like, I remember back in the Worldwake days and the Mirrodin days, the big Standard deck at the time was Cog-Go. Doesn't matter. But they banned Jace the Mind Sculptor and Stoneforge Mystic, and it was a big deal at the time because they had not banned any cards in Standard since the Mirrodin days. I mean, and that's when I first started playing the game.
Yeah.
So it had been like 8-9 years or something like that since their last standard banning. And it feels like we've entered this different regime ever since Kaladesh, where it's like standard bannings are just a thing that happens.
I think it's just... because this is banning within the standard format, right? Or is it banning like throughout all cards, like all formats?
Within standard.
Oh, it's just within standard?
Yeah.
That kind of changes my mindset a little bit, because I was thinking just bannings in general.
No, this question is about standard in particular.
Which is like the fresh and like active format.
So like the most recent three or four blocks or whatever it is.
So what I was going to say was like, well, I think as the game just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and more expansive, I think it's just really hard to balance with the whole, like the all-encompassing game, right?
Sure. If you're making cards that are going to hit standard play, it's hard to give like the old Eternal formats new tools and fun things to do that aren't going to fuck up standard.
Right. And so I think with thinking it in that mindset, it's like you have... the only thing I can, like I said before, is like the only reason why I would be accepting of sort of like regular-ish standard bannings is if it's because they're just embarking on new territories that they've never really done before.
Right.
But if it's like you're working within the same like core mechanics, like the same whatever abilities or keyword trigger or whatever is happening for the three sets, then I don't think you really have a good reason why you shouldn't be able to balance that within three sets. Does that make sense?
No, it does make sense. And I think this is maybe comes across as a little bit entitled, but it's also like, you know, Wizards, that's your job. You know, you make these cards, and standard is like your kind of like flagship format.
Right. So yeah, so it's like when Oko came out, it's like, how did they test it? Play test it? Did they play test it? Like, how do they... I'd be interested in knowing how they playtest new cards. Just as a person who does UX and stuff in general, I hope they do outside, like, not only their internal playtesting department, but also just, like, Magic players, or even people who really haven't done Magic before either, played Magic before. I would have several layers of...
I don't know if they do. Potential. I know they have... they've got a thing called Future League, which is that internally in Magic, they have a group of players who are playing standard, you know, 2 years in the future right now.
Right.
With, like, the cards that they're making. And they also have the design team, or no, play design, rather, sorry. And they brought them on, I think, after Kaladesh, after the cluster that was Kaladesh, to really be focused on making a good standard, basically.
I mean, I'm not trying to like knock anybody's job. It's really difficult. It's so difficult to do this.
They always point out, and it's very true, that you know it's, you know, maybe 50 people in Wizards versus, you know, 20 million of us trying to break standard.
And that's what I was going to get at. You know, in my job when I do user experience, and trying to figure out how users are going to do stuff. Like, I'm sorry, I've been doing this job for 10 years, and sure, I have the user's mindset, but I'm never going to get back my fresh pair of eyes, like, from the very beginning,
right.
And also through the discovery and everything. Now I'm, like, 10 years into this field where I'm doing instructions, and it's like, sometimes I have blinders on. Oh, wow, I really forgot that this could be a thing that could happen. Because I'm just so used to doing it in the way that I've learned how to do it, right? So, or, like, I found or discovered on my own or whatever. And so I wonder if that happens. I mean, surely it does happen, too, where it's just a matter of, like, yeah, we're playtesting it. And, yeah, we're playtesting new cards. But we've been doing it so much. And we're so in this game that it's hard to see it with that fresh mindset. And so I think it would probably be wise for Wizards, if they don't already do it, they should be having, I mean there are people who are going to be like, would, you know, have them sign an NDA and everything, and just have them come in and play test your game, because we do that at my company, sign NDAs and stuff with safety products. So,
sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think I kind of have two thoughts in response to that. One is that I think you're absolutely right about like having blinders on, and I think about like their limited scope. Where if you take any like professional team in Magic, like when a new standard comes out, everybody's trying to break standard. Everybody's trying to be like, what is the deck that's going to break the format? And you can take professional players who've been playing since the beginning of the game, who've been playing for years and are like, you know, huge stars and champions, and they will just sometimes get it completely wrong. Like they'll just, they'll pick a deck that is trash against the field.
Yeah.
And they will miss out on the good deck. And so I think, you know, even if you bring on these pros, like a small team of these pros who their whole job is to try to break the format, they'll miss it sometimes. They won't see the deck that's right there.
Right.
But when you bring in the world will find that deck.
Right. And I'm thinking too, it's just like how I talked about, I can't remember a couple episodes when I did the, pre-release event for Eldraine. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I have a play style that I'm always wanting to play. And even though the cards in front of me I have say differently, I'm still trying to do that. And I think even though I wasn't conscious of it, like, it's just something we do as humans unconsciously, right? It's just like we just do these things, gravitate towards certain stuff, or you're so focused on finding X that you miss Y, right?
Well, we use patterns to get through life, and sometimes those patterns can get you stuck.
Get stuck, and so I think that's what happens, and... I don't know. It's that whole scary situation of let's try something new, and see what happens. I'm okay with that. Like I said, I'm going back to the original question.
Yeah.
Where it's, I am fine with bannings because one, for several reasons. One, it doesn't bother me, and two, I don't play the game that way.
Right.
But as from a design perspective, if they're trying to do something new or break ground in a new area, I'm okay. Like, it's going to happen.
Sure.
Whatever.
I agree with that 100%. And in my, I responded in that original thread from Mashi where I said, you know, cards are going to slip through the cracks. Like, I don't expect perfection from Wizards of the Coast. Like, that's just not an attainable thing.
Right.
However, I also don't think it's unreasonable to say, I think you can push power in cards without having to do a ban every set of one or more cards. And I think your point, when you break new ground, it's inherently dangerous. You know, when you do something totally new in Magic, like when Planeswalkers were introduced, this is a whole new element in the game, and it could have been completely, you know, broken. But I look at a card like Oko, just as an example, and I don't see anything in Oko where it's like, wow, so different than what we've seen in every other Planeswalker. I think that he's just extremely pushed just all the way.
And so that's the thing, is like, if you're going to push it, and you're knowingly pushing a card's power, then what are you doing in the set to keep that power, counterbalance that power? And... I don't know if they... Yeah, again, I don't know. I haven't played with Eldraine enough to... Or I don't play Standard, so it's like I'm out of the loop.
This actually... I mean, you can speak to this, though, because you notoriously hate Planeswalkers.
I do, because they're usually very difficult to take care of. So you sent me a tweet recently.
I did.
of somebody who added Planeswalkers to a bunch of targeted removal spells.
Yeah. Like, so this is Cube April at Cube April on Twitter, who said, I think a lot about what Magic would be like if we stopped handling Planeswalkers with kids gloves by no longer making them exempt from huge swaths of
yes.
And so she
like lava coil.
Right. She made a lava coil that says, one red lava coil deals 4 damage to target creature or planeswalker. If that creature or planeswalker would die this turn, exile it instead. Or, you know, prey upon. One green target creature you control fights target creature or planeswalker you don't control. It deals damage equal to its power or loyalty to the other. And a couple other cards that way were basically... It's very true that the only cards that they... And for a long time, you know, they didn't have cards that referenced planeswalkers at all.
Yeah.
And when they finally did... the best you could get is 3 mana to kill a planeswalker.
Yep.
And why is that when no other card type has that kind of immunity from removal spells?
I would be happy with that. Because planeswalkers to me is just like a game, another game that I don't like playing. That's so funny. It's like, I love Magic so much, but it's one of those, like, it can be such a draining experience for me. I just get, it just takes up a lot of brain power. And so when Planeswalkers, and it's like, all of a sudden, I get out of spreadsheet. I have to remember all this shit that's going to happen. And, I can't do that because that enchantment's out. And, I can't do that because that creature does that thing. And, I can't do this because of that. And, counterspell, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna lay down here on the ground with my pumpkin bread, and we're gonna just soothe ourselves to sleep.
Yeah. They necessarily slow the game down, because to deal with them, you have to divert resources to dealing with this other thing.
Which is fine. So it can be fun.
I love Planeswalkers. Like, I just got done talking about my Bolas deck, which is basically a planeswalker theme deck, and centered around planeswalkers. I would be 100% for cards like this. I would be down for card like 2 mana removal spells that just, like, I think that would be totally fair if they made like 1 in a black destroy target planeswalker. I think that's a card that maybe not in that color, but I think that's some color should get that. That should exist.
Yeah.
So yeah, they need better answers for sure. I think for a lot of these things. And it seems like historically, they're not the best at anticipating which of their cards are going to be the dominant force that they need to answer.
Yeah. I remember when I was worried about Questing Beast, and it was really Oko.
Right. That's one of the funny things about Oko, right? Questing Beast is like, it's this incredible card. It's got this Planeswalker claws, and it actually just can't deal with Oko at all.
Yep.
It just gets elked.
God damn. Also, he's like going for a lot of money now, I think. He's like, I think he was like $78. I can't remember.
Yes. Although like, I would sell.
Almost like Liliana levels.
Yeah. I would sell right now because I think he's going to get banned November 18th. Which this episode might be out at that point, in which case you guys can school me because I didn't get banned. But we'll see.
I think... Let me do predictions right now.
Yeah, let's do it.
No ban
on Oko.
Yeah,
they showed they were willing to ban Field of the Dead, and that just came out this summer, so I think they could ban Oko.
No banning. Be brave, Wizards.
All right.
We'll see. I don't know why I said that for.
Be brave.
Just who cares anymore? Just make any card that you want. It'll be fun time. It will please me.
Maybe the only thing I can think of is if they did anticipate him being a problem in the next set, maybe there's something, but then I don't know. They're just letting him run rampant for 3 months.
Let's see. I'm gonna make a goblin. Amber Thief of Goblins. Goblin Thief. I cost 1 red and a black, plus 2. Just take a dump is what plus 2 is. Plus 1. And also dump token is a thing. A dump token, and it's an artifact. Target artifact or the creature loses all abilities.
It needs to be a thing where it's like, plus 2 created dump token. Amber Goblin Thief can't activate loyalty abilities next turn.
That's terrible. That's actually pretty great and also very flavorful. And then it's a plus 3, and then I could turn the dump into something. And then negative something, and I'm tired. I can't deal with this anymore. My creative juices are gone.
I really want to make a proxy of this half-assed planeswalker card.
Amber Thief of Goblins. Plus 2, create a dump token.
Plus 3, turn it into something. Minus something, something happens.
You cry into your pumpkin bread.
Okay. Let's sign off. This has been a Jumbo episode at this point.
Oh, Lord, it's so long. Make it stop.
All right. Well, that's our episode. Thanks, everybody, for listening. If you want to email us, we're redmagebluemage@geekspective.com. We're on Twitter at redbluemtg. I'm on Twitter at Wolfmere.
And I'm on Twitter at RocketOrca.
And until next time, I'll be holding up a counterspell.
And I'll be creating a dump token.
Goodbye.
Bye.